Today's daf is Chulin daf Tes. We left off on the bottom of daf Ches Amid Beis. We were just discussing the various statements of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. We said there were going to be three statements of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, followed by two statements of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the second of the three statements of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, we might as well pick up from there, about 8-10 lines from the bottom of the page again. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, hatabach tzarech shnei kelim shel mayim. He needs to have two kelim of water, echad shemediach bel basar ve'echad shemediach bel chalav, and one where he rinses off the meat, and one where he rinses off the fats. So frakti gemar v'niskan le'echad v'nediach bel basar v'nediach bel chalavim. Why don't we just give him one kli and let him rinse off the meat, and then he'll rinse off the fats afterwards, and therefore the meat will remain kosher, it won't have fats that will stick to it. And now we're afraid that he's going to rinse off the fats and then he's going to rinse off the meat. And Rashi points out, even though it's cold, the difference between heat and cold is that with heat you could have blios. With cold, though, two things can still come in contact with each other and stick to each other. So we're still concerned that the chalev will stick to the meat, and that way a person might still violate the iser of eating the forbidden chalev. So, but still, you might confuse the two pools of water, and you might rinse the meat in the fat pool. So, we said no. Since there is a requirement to have two separate basins of water, you're going to make them look different from each other, so you'll know which one is which, and therefore there's less of a concern that someone will come to confuse them. So now a new halacha, and this is where we really left off. Amar Amimar Mishrei Rav Papa Lo Lischof Inish Kafli Ilave Bisra. A person shouldn't put the fats on top of the meat, because sometimes the fats will melt and will get soaked into, will get absorbed into the basar. Rashi says, "Kol aksalm shechelav akloyos davuksham lo yekofo sam al gabe basar." The sides of the animal that has the chelav attached to it, you shouldn't put on top of meat. Acher shachelav mutal al basar, because the chelav will be on the meat, umischamim will get heated up, v'zav al basar will flow right onto the meat. So frak the Gemara, ihachi kitritzi nami dov tarbo balabisra. Well then, even when it's put directly on the counter, on the table, like you always put with the chelav on the table, still we have to worry that that cut of the animal itself, the meat of that cut of the animal itself, is going to absorb the chelav. Why are you only worried if it's put on other meat? It's going to absorb the chelav itself. Answers, karma mifsik mitasai. The forbidden chelav has a membrane around it that will stop the flow of chelav onto the meat that it's attached to. Frak the Gemara, ihachi meilai nami karma ika. Well, then you have the same issue, the same heter, when it comes to putting it on another piece of meat, because the entire, on the top of it, it also has a membrane around it. Just like it has a membrane protecting the meat that's attached to that same piece, it also has a membrane around the entire chelev to protect it from flowing onto other pieces of meat. Says the Gemara, no, that membrane can become easily punctured and ruined, and therefore the chelev can flow from it. Because a lot of times, since the shochet is touching it and he's manipulating it, so it's very likely that thin membrane will become broken, and therefore the chelev will be able to get through. So from the piece, the meat itself that's attached to the chelev, so that membrane we assume remains intact, and we're not worried about the chelev dripping. But on a separate piece of meat, the chelev on the other side, we're worried will become punctured, and therefore we are worried about the chelev dripping onto it. Fine. Third statement of Rabbi Damarav. Vamar Rabbi Damarav. Talmud Chacham Tzarech Sheyilmod Gimel Dvarim. Person who is a Talmud Chacham needs to learn three things that are very important. Ksav, Shchita, Umila. He needs to know how to write, he needs to know how to shecht, and he needs to know how to do mila. Those are the three critical things that should be in all the smicha programs, I guess, that a Talmud Chacham should know how to do all those things. The Rabbi Chanina bar Shlami Mishmei D'Rav Amar, Rabbi Chanina bar Shlami says in the name of Rav, a couple of more things. Av kesher shel tefillin, ubirchas chasanim v'tzitzis. Three more things. He should also know how to knot the tefillin. He should know how to say birchas chasanim, the shavar brachos, and tzitzis, or maybe the birchas erisin. And he should also know tzitzis. He should also know how to do tzitzis. V'idach, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav list those things that Rabbi Chanina is mentioning? Well, say Hani Shchicha, everyone knows those things. So either it's unimportant to mention, because of course he knows it, or it's unimportant for a Talmud Chacham to learn it, because there are enough other people that learn it, he's not going to be relied upon for those things. But the Shchita, Mila, and Ksav are things that not everybody knows, and therefore the Talmud Chacham is going to be heavily relied upon for those things. So a number of issues over here. First of all, what does it mean, ksav? He has to know ksav. Says Rashi, lichtov sheyeda lachtom shemo ilu yashav b'din ola edus. He needs to know how to sign his name in case he's sitting on a din Torah or he's doing edus. Very difficult to understand. What do you mean he needs to know how to sign his name? Where Choshesh of Talmud Chacham isn't going to know how to sign his name? Very difficult to understand. So the Meiri says, no, what Rashi means is that he should have a nice signature so that it should be easily identifiable, because he's going to be signing on official documents, just like Lahavdil. Celebrities practice their signatures because they know people are going to always ask them for autographs. So Talmud Chacham, since his signature is going to be going on a lot of things, it's important that he practice his signature, has a really nice signature that should be easily identifiable. Other Mefarshim say, is quoted by the Itur B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, that he should learn that learning Ksav means he should learn the Nusach of various Shtaros that people need. He should know what to write in a Get, what to write in a Ksuba, what to write in a Shtar Halva'a. Various Shtaros that come up all the time, so you should know what the Nusach is, you should know how to write them. Yam Shul Shlomo has a third Pshat. Yam Shul Shlomo in Siman Tes Vav explains, Talmud Chacham needs to know how to write a Tshuva. Someone asks him a question, he needs to know how to write a Tshuva in a Lashon Tzav, in a right, clear and easy language, to be able to respond to things in a clear way. So he should have that skill of being a decent writer. In the Tshuvos HaRivash, in Siman Shin Pei Ches, in Siman Shin Sadi, he writes that the Ran passed a certain get that came in front of him because he saw that the person who wrote it didn't know how to write clearly. He wrote, there wasn't any technical psul, other than the person who wrote it clearly didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know how to write properly. So the Ran assumed he clearly could not have been a Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham has to know how to write, and mele the get's going to be possible. The Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos in Maseches Gittin, writes that no, it's ein mina nimna shebeis nagadol lo yu bekin b'ksiva. It's not out of the question that members of the Beis Nagadol aren't going to really know how to write a proper get, because l'fisha tnai bebeis nishu chachamim v'lo sofrim, says the Rambam. To qualify for the Beis, you need to be a Talmud Chacham. You don't need to be a sofer. So exactly to what extent a person needs to know how to write is subject of some controversy. The Tashbetz in the Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Gimel writes that the Medaktike Halashon, that people who are very into Dikduk, were very unhappy with Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, who was from the Gedolei HaTanaim, because a lot of the Piyutim that he wrote seems to have grammatical errors in them. Seems that there are Dikduk errors. And the Tashbetz says, nah, it's not a problem. He's the Talmud Chacham. He doesn't have to be a grammarian. He just has to be a Talmud Chacham. Not so important that he be a grammarian. In fact, you find the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tezvav that Hillel wasn't always medaktik to say things exactly properly, bediktik lashon, because he was always very makbit to say things in the name of his rebbeim, Shmaya Naftalion. And Shmaya Naftalion were gerim; they couldn't be medaktik b'lashonim. That's a little bit different. It wasn't a grammatical problem; it was a pronunciation problem. That's why the Tanan Mishnah Masech Zidio says that when they would say over in the name of Shmaya Naftalion that a hin of mayim would pass the mikvah, and they said malay hin mayim. Why did they say malay hin? Because Shmaya Naftalion couldn't say the hey. They would say in. It would sound like in, and no one would know what they were talking about. So they had to compensate by using other language that would make clear that in means hin. So they would say malay hin. So that's why when the Talmidim said it over, they also said malay hin, even though they knew how to say the letter hey. Leads you to believe the letter hey is not just an h sound. If they couldn't pronounce it, it was probably more of a Svartike, which has a little more of a chet kind of pronunciation to it. But okay, we can't win them all. So that's first thing. That's ksav. What else does Talmud Chacham have to know? He has to know shchita and mila. There's an interesting discussion in the Achronim. Some of the Achronim, particularly some of the Chassidish Gedolim, were very makbid that the shochet of the town not also be the moel of the town. And they quote all sorts of meisim about if the guy is the shochet and the moel, that when he does the mila, he might accidentally make the wrong bracha, make a bracha ala shchita, and rachman l'tzlan, that can cause all sorts of bad mazel on the baby if you just made a bracha ala shchita when you're being mal the baby. Some of the achronim say, well, what are you talking about? Look at this gemara. It says that Talmud Chacham needs to know all these things. So they say, no, he needs to know all these things, but he shouldn't be the one that's kavua to do all these things. They say that the Bnei Yisachar, Shor Mitzion Ba'alacha calls it the Bnei Yisachar, the Divrei Chaim, were very, very makpid about this, that even though he needs to know Shechita and Mila, he shouldn't be the guy that's actually doing both the Shechita and the Mila. And then Rabbi Chanina said that he also needs to know Kesher Shel Tefillin. So very important over here, says Tosfos, Kesher Shel Tefillin, Kedo Amar, like the Gemara B'Metzia says, Tefillin Bei Bar Chavu Mishkach Shechichi. To know how to not tefillin, if you went by Bar Chavu, that was very common. I mean, you'd find the ability to knot the tefillin properly. Mikan medaktik Rabbeinu Tam, so says Rabbeinu Tam, what we see from here is that you don't need to tie your tefillin every day when you put them on. Remember back in Menachos, we learned the sheet of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that every single day when you put on your tefillin, you need to actually tie the knots every single day. Because the Gemara in HaKomets discusses when you make the bracha on tefillin, and the Gemara says, tefillin, mishas hanacha, somewhere in between the time that you place them on you and the time that you tie them from the shas to the shas kshira, makes it sound like there's a kshira every single day. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu said, yeah, you need to untie and retie your tefillin every single day. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that kshira doesn't mean literally tying the knot. It means fastening it to your body. It means making it tight around your head, tight around your arm. It doesn't mean actually tying it. And it gives examples in Shas where kshira doesn't mean knotting, it means just fastening. And he says, if it works, Shira Mamish, he said, what, you think every single day they went to Bar Chavu to tie their tefillin? People went to shul in the morning and they just put on their tefillin. How did they do it if they didn't know the Kesher Shel Tefillin? Furthermore, he says, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Tzadi Zayin sounds like you're not allowed to tie tefillin on Shabbos because it's a Kesher Shel Kayama. But if you undo it every single day, that's not a Kesher Shel Kayama. The definition of a Kesher Shel Kayama is a Kesher that's going to stay at least 24 hours. So how is it going to be a Kesher Shel Kayama if you take it off every single day? So that's why Rabbeinu Tam says clearly that the Rabbeinu Eliyahu is incorrect about the Kesher Shel Tefillin. Now the Rambam writes, Machnas Ritzur Shel Rosh B'Tover Shela U'Makif B'Midas Rosh. The kosher kesher meruba kemendalus. He describes how to tie it. The kesher zeh, says the Rambam, this kesher that we do on the tefillin, tzarich kol talmud chacham lelamdo. Every talmud chacham needs to know how to do it. V'ef shalohodia tzurasa b'ksav. The Rambam puts this on the list of things that no matter how many books you study, you will never know how to tie the tefillin until you've gotten shimush, until you've seen someone who actually does it. It's the kind of thing you can't learn from books alone. And he says every Talmud Chacham needs to know how to do it. So some of the Achronim, the Kesem Mishnah, says, Rambam's obviously basing himself on our Gemara that a Talmud Chacham has to learn these things. The problem is, the Rambam doesn't quote by any of the other items mentioned on the list that a Talmud Chacham dafka has to know these things. He only mentions it by tying the kesher of the tefillin, so that's a little bit troubling. So the rush and the riff, it's clear that a Talmud Chacham needs to know all six of these things. Meaning, it's not even a machlokas between Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is just adding more things, but it's not even a machlokas between the two. Unclear why the Rambam Dafka emphasizes the Kesher Shel Tefillin more than all the rest. Now, the raya that Rabbeinu Tam had against Rabbeinu Eliyahu that you would tie the tefillin every, the Rabbeinu Eliyahu held that you would tie the tefillin every day, was the Gemara in Erevin that it's Kesher Shel Kayama. So the Hagos Mordechai rejects the raya. He says it's not a good raya because even if it's not a Kesher, it's still usher to tie it on Shabbos because the Torah calls it a Kesher. Meaning, if the Torah says Kshartam Los Al Yadecha, so then the Torah is saying that that's called a kesher. So even if technically it wouldn't normally fit the definition of kesher, when the Torah is achshavei, the Torah counts it as a kesher, memela becomes a kesher. The Avnei Nezer is a fascinating tshuva. The Avnei Nezer in Simon Kuf Pei Gimel Os Hay writes that you learn from here that we don't paskin like since we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Eliyahu, it must be that we're not yotze with tefillin that are not a kesher shel kayama. Since we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam that we don't tie it every day, that kesher of our tefillin has to be a kesher shel kayama. So you're not yotze with tefillin that aren't a kesher shel kayama. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, let's say you borrow somebody's tefillin and you therefore adjust the size of the tefillin shel rosh to fit your own head. He says you're not yotzei, because that adjustment is a new kesher, and it's not a kesher shel kayama. It's only temporary. The guy's going to put it right back when he puts on his tefillin again the next day, and you need a kesher shel kayama for the tefillin. Sounds very very challenging. So what do people do when they borrow tefillin? We always adjust the size slightly to make it fit our heads. So in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kazhe Glover in Siman Zayin, Vary Tzvi Frimer writes that he heard from the Shemi Shmuel, the son of the Avnei Nezer, that what the Avnei Nezer meant was that you can't untie the tefillin and then retie it to fit your head. But if you're just adjusting it by moving the strap, but leaving the knot there the entire time, well then certainly it's a kesher shel kayama, because you were never matir the kesher. You never undid the kesher in the first place. So then it's the same kesher shel kayama, and you don't have to worry about anything. The other thing Rabbi Chanina says, that yishno birchas chasanim, also a little bit difficult to understand. What is this birchas chasanim? Why birchas chasanim more than anything else? So some of the achronim explain that birchas chasanim means that you should know to sing nicely, to be mesameach chasam nekala, that it should be the proper nusach when a person is called upon to say birchas chasanim. Fine, okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Now we're going to have two statements from Rabbi Yudah Shmuel. First, Amar Rabbi Yudah Shmuel, called Tabach Sheni Yodeh Hilcha Shchita. Any shochet that doesn't know Hilcha Shchita, Asur Lechol Mishchita. So you're not allowed to eat from his shchita if he doesn't know Hilcha Shchita. Ve'elu hein Hilcha Shchita. What are the Hilcha Shchita? So we're going to see later on that there are essentially five Hilcha Shchita. We're going to see later on in the Perek there's Shehiya, Drasa, Chalada, Hagrama, V'Ikor. Those are the five Hilchos Shechita. We discussed some of them already. Shehiya, when you delay in the middle of the Shechita, or Darsa is when you're Doris, when you push down instead of going in the back and forth motion. Okay, we can discuss if you shecht on the wrong part of the animal, you uproot the siman from underneath. We'll discuss all the different Hilchos Shechita. So, my Kamash Malan, Kulu Taninu. Why would you mention that? What's the Chiddush that he has to know Hilchos Shechita? And these are the five Hilchos Shechita. We're going to learn all five of them. Obviously, these are the five Hilchos Shechita. What are you teaching me by saying that he needs to know these Hilchos Shechita? So lo tzricha sheshakel fenenu beiz v'gimel pamim v'shachet chapir. Now the situation is the guy doesn't know any of these details. He just has a knack for it. He's shechted two or three times and he's done it perfectly. He just said, "Here, give me that. Let me try." And he does a perfect job of Shechita. So mal d'teimaymer thought midi idach shachet chapir hanami shachet chapir, that since I've seen him in the past shecht other things, other animals really well, and he's done a fine job doing it, so I could assume that even though I didn't see him shech this animal, I could assume maybe he's done this one really well also. I might have thought that, Kamashmalan, Kivin Delo Gamar, and if he doesn't know the five basics, Zimnin Deshai V'daris V'loyada, then it could very well be that sometimes he'll feel faint, so he'll pause in the middle, and in the middle of the Shechita, and he's not going to realize that it's a problem, because if he doesn't know what the problems are, he may have a knack for it, and he may have done it right when everything, when under optimal conditions, but you never know when something's going to come up and he's not going to do something exactly properly, and he won't know that he messed up. He won't know that he did anything wrong. So therefore, every single shochet needs to know Hilcha Shechita. So all the Rishonim are just qualify this a little bit. What do you mean he needs to know Hilcha Shechita? Does he need to know every sivkat and shachtaz? What is it? How much Hilcha Shechita does he need to know exactly? He needs to know every piskei tshuva about that. What exactly does he need to know in Hilcha Shechita? So you would assume most shochtim actually do know probably in Hilcha Shechita. Whatever it is, it's 25 simanim at the beginning of Yar Day, on the stomach, they can manage it. Most of the shochtim probably do learn Hilcha Shechita pretty well. But is that required, that a shochet has to know everything? So the Yireim, quoted by the Mordechai, Tav Kufay and Dalid, writes that he only needs to know the pshute Hilcha Shechita, just the pashut, you know, what he has to do kind of Hilcha Shechita. Any sort of complicated shailas, he doesn't have to know how to answer, he just has to know how to ask. Whenever a shaila comes up and he's not sure, does that count as ikur? Does that count? So if he has a complicated shaila, all he has to know is what a shaila is. He needs to know when he has to ask a shaila, as opposed to the case of our Gemara, we're saying the guy's going to be shoha. He never heard a shehiya. He's not going to even know enough to ask a shaila. say, that's what Shulchan Aruch paskins, that ein sarach sheyodeh kol chiluke adinim, elim omar al davar zah yisi mistapik, v'shoel karin be shapir yodeh ad she yomar al asr motim. If we're giving him a bechina, we ask, what would you do in this situation? He says, well, in that situation, I would ask a shayla, because I wouldn't know. That's good enough. That's a fair answer. He's allowed to ask a shayla. That's perfectly fine. But at the very least, the Taz writes in Sefkat Zayin that at the very least, he needs to know that shihios are mitzarif, that different pauses are mitzarif to the shear of shihia. He should also know the din. The Ramah says he should know the din of bedika sakin, how to check a knife, because that's something that you can't wait for him to ask a shayla. The rabbi is not always going to be there to check his knives for him. That's something every shochet needs to know how to do, how to check his knife for a pegima. But really, it's just a bare bones basics that we absolutely demand that he knows. Okay, next statement. Vam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Second statement. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hatabek tzarich sheyivdok b'simanim la'achar shchita. Another thing a shochet has to do is after he shechts, he has to check the simanim of the animal. You have to cut rov hasimanim of the two simanim, the trachea and the esophagus. So he has to check to make sure that he actually got rov. Sometimes it's just such a quick slice, he will only have cut 40%, 30% of the simanim, and that will make the animal not kosher. So in order to that will make the animal in the vela, because it didn't have a proper shechita, it just died of bleeding to death. It's like stabbing it in the neck. It's not going to be a kosher shechita. So he has to check rov of the simanim. If you've ever seen when they do a shechita, it's the first thing they do. On a gasa, they stick their hands in and they pull the simanim out to be able to see it. And on a bird, they'll just flip the neck the other way so that the simanim will stick out. They'll be able to see clearly whether they shechted rov simanim. I once went to see a shechita by birds, and I couldn't see how they were seeing anything. Each one, they flipped out the neck and just looked like blood to me. There's just so much there. And one, they threw into the garbage. And I said, why did you throw that one out? They said, we didn't get rov simanim. I said, how do you know? They said, well, trust me, we've done this for a while. And sure enough, the bird gets up and starts walking around in the garbage can. That it was still alive. They really didn't get rov simanim. So we told the guy, you know, there was a guy standing there. So I said to the shochet, sar balechayim, how could you leave? So he motions to the guy. The guy comes and rips off the head with the bare hands and throws it back in the garbage. Okay, so I don't know if that was better than sar balechayim. That was a little scary. Anyway, but that's the, you have to check the rov simanim. Amar of Yosef, Afananami Tanina. And Rav Yosef says, I'll bring you a raya that you have to check that you shechted rov simanim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Imsha Kidei Bikur, my love, Kidei Bikur Simanim. That what's the shear of Shehiya? How much of a pause during the Shechita will ruin the Shechita if you pause long enough to check? So what does to check mean? Doesn't to check mean the Bikur Simanim, to check the Simanim? Why would we use that? If there was no requirement to check the Simanim, why would we give that as a shear? The amount of time it takes to check Simanim. Whoever checks Simanim, Elamai, what do you see? The fact that we give that as an example is a raya that there must be such an Indian of checking the Simanim. So that's the raya. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, nah, it's not a good raya at all. Lo, hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan, kidei bikur chacham. Kidei bikur doesn't mean kidei bikur simanim, the amount of time it takes to check the simanim. It means the amount of time it takes to go to a chacham and check the knives. Because the minig always was, still is, that when a chacham walks into a shechita place, the first thing the shochet does is he gives him his knife. And the chacham has to know what he's doing. He has to know how to check a knife. Otherwise, the shochtim are going to realize that the chacham doesn't know anything he doesn't know what he's looking at. So you have to know how to, the chacham has to know how to check the knife. But kedei bikur chacham, that's what it means, kedei bikur. Nothing to do with checking the simanim. So frankly, Martin imkena sata dvarach l'shiurim, the amount of time it takes for the chacham to check, well, that could vary depending on where the chacham lives. If the chacham lives far away, for the shochet to get to the chacham's house, will take a longer time. If the chacham lives closer, it will take a shorter time. Ella kedei bikur tabach chacham. No, we're not talking about going to a chacham's house. Let's say the shochet himself is the chacham, and the shochet has to check the knife. Meaning, assuming the chacham is right there, how long it takes to check the knife, not how long it takes to get to the guy's house, who's going to check the knife. That's what it means. And therefore, it's the same shear. It's not different for different animals. So, Frek tells us, what do you mean it's not different for different animals? Let's say you have a different, there are plenty of different sized shechita knives. You ever seen a set of shechita knives? If you shechted a bird, the knife, knife is very tiny. Vishapta gasa, so the knife is very large. So what? Of course, this is satz of rach lishur. One guy might have a very, very long knife. The other guy might have the minimum shear, minimum shear of how large a knife is supposed to be. So Tosa says, v'afli sheish sakin gadol of a sakin katana, misharina nakol behema b'sakin sheish makamlot tzavar v'chutz tzavar kamlot tzavar. That the shear of shehia on an animal in a chinami will vary based on the size of the animal, not based on the size of the knife. What's the shear? The amount of time it would take to check a knife, that's the minimum size knife you're allowed to use for that animal. What's the minimum size knife? You have to use a knife that's length is twice the width of the animal's neck. Since shechita needs to be done by, in a moluch umevi motion, by going back and forth, so you need a knife that's twice the length of the knife is twice the width of the animal's neck. So obviously, when you're shechting a chicken, the neck is very, very narrow. It's a very tiny neck. The knife is therefore very narrow. You shecht a cow, it's obviously a much larger knife that you need to use. And therefore, the shear shehiyah is going to be longer. That's what Tosa says. So, lo badak mai. Good, now that we know that there's such a din that you have to check the simanim, right? We said before, you have to check the simanim. What if you didn't check the simanim to see if you shechted rov simanim? Is the animal still kosher? So, Rabbi Elazar Antigonus, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yanei, Omar, trefa, vasura ba'achila. It's treated like a trefa, it's asur ba'achila. You're not allowed to eat it. Tosa says, Mishum derov pa'amim shochet shapir, vishar yomida oraisa, since most of the time the shechita is really done properly, we're not going to say that it's a nevela. Because really, if you didn't do a proper shechita, and basically you killed the animal, it's like stabbing an animal, the animal's a nevela. It's not just not kosher. It's a nevela. The difference between nevela and trefa is that nevela is metame also. Trefa doesn't have the tumah. Nevela is metame b'masa. Nevela is of, is metame of tar, at least metame b'beis habliya. You don't have these dinim by a trefa. But nevertheless, Chazal weren't machmir to say that it's tamei, at least according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yanai, that it's metame kinevela, because we don't know that it's a nevela. Rove of the time, it probably wasn't a nevela, probably was shechted properly, and therefore they were only machmir that you're not allowed to eat it. They weren't machmir to treat it like a nevela. But masnisatana, nevela metame masa. But masnisatana, the brisa, we learned that no, we treat it like a nevela, it's mamish metame b'masa. B'maikamifli, what exactly are they arguing about? So b'drafuna, they're arguing within Rav Huna Shita, Damar Behema B'chaya B'cheskas Yisrael Medes, Ad She'odeelach B'men Nishchata. A Behema is always assumed to be B'cheskas Yisrael, unless you know what it was shechted with. Nishchata, once it's shechted, Harei B'cheskas Heter. Then you assume that it's Mutter, Ad She'odeelach B'men Nishrafa, unless you know how it became treif. So Marasav B'cheskas Yisrael Kayim of Ahashta Mesahi. One Shita says, well, it was B'cheskas Yisrael, and now it's dead. Umarsav b'cheskas iser arminan b'cheskas tumalo arminan. I mean, if it was b'cheskas iser and now it's dead, so now it's b'cheskas nevela, right? We don't know that there was a proper shechita done. We don't have a raya that it was a proper shechita. Mele it's b'cheskas nevela and it's metame. That's the brisa. But umarsav b'cheskas iser arminan b'cheskas tumalo arminan. No, for carrying forward the cheskas iser that it had while it was alive, it wasn't tame. An animal can't be tame while it's alive. When we say an animal is behema tame, it means it's not kosher. An animal that's alive can never become tameh. So while it was alive, yes, it had a cheskas iser, never had a cheskas tumah. So where's the cheskas tumah coming from? So that's why, if you don't know that it was shechted properly, you don't know, you can't be machzik betumah, you can only be machzik that it's actually aser. What is this cheskas iser that an animal has while it's alive? It's becheskas iser. So Rashi says, becheskas iser, Avram and Achai. That while it was alive, we know that you weren't allowed to eat it, because while it was alive, it was Avram and Achai. Right? That's Rashi. Marso b'chesk Isra arisho nomedes, shaloi so shkuta. I'm sorry, wrong Rashi. Lo amrinan, shay basur min achai eina matama. Yeah, Rashi throughout always talks about the cheskas iser being a cheskas ever min achai. Tosvos in Mesechs Beit Zadav Chafhei, and the Rashba over here say, what do you mean? That now that the animal is dead, you're going to say, why is it aser? Because it had a cheskas iser of ever min achai. I know for sure it's no longer ever min achai. right? It's dead now. How can you say that a chazaka is going to work of cheskas sisra evi menachai if that chazaka is clearly not here anymore? Chazaka is when I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Is the mikvah chaser? Is the mikvah missing 40 sa, or is it not missing 40 sa? Well, it had a chazaka before that it had 40 sa, so I could assume it's the last 40 sa. But if I look at it, it's a puddle. It clearly doesn't have 40 sa. So a chazaka is going to help me? I know that that chazaka is not there anymore. Fractosus and the Rashba. So Tosus and the Rashba both say, no, Becheskas Yisro Medas has nothing to do with Evi Menachai. Becheskas Yisro Medas means that it was Becheskas Eina Shchuta. That there is a halacha. In order for an animal to be kosher to eat, Vizavachta, Viachalta. You need to shecht it, then you could eat it. This is Becheskas that it wasn't shechted. And that chazaka has never changed. I know that the animal's dead now, but I don't know that it was shechted properly. That's the chazaka that's in play. So how are they mitarits for Rashi? So all the achronim are mitarits for Rashi based on the concept of machzikin me isser le isser, that you're allowed to, that a chazaka could sometimes carry forward from one isser to the other isser. It had a cheskas isser, that its halachic status was that it was usser. Now it might be a different isser, but the general chazaka, that it was usser, is still in intact, even though it's not the same isser anymore. Okay, now we said that if you didn't check the simanim, it's definitely usher to eat it. Machlokas, whether it's a nevela or just usher to eat. Whether it's metame or just usher to eat. Frekt the Rishonim, including Chuvus Arash, Klal Chaf Osi Adalid. What about Romatsu Yenetzel Shchita Mumchen Hein? The guy shechted, so can't you assume he knew what he was doing? Shouldn't we follow Rav Mitzuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchenein? So he says, part of being a mumche is to know Hilcha Shchita, such as the fact that you're supposed to check the Simanim. If you didn't check the Simanim, it's a major reyesa in that Rav Mitzuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchenein. That's what the Rosh writes, and Mordechai also. You can't say you go Basa Rav, and Rav Ha'olam sheft most of the Simanim, because since it's Becheskas Isser, you could say Samach Miyutal L'Chazaka, that the Miyut doesn't know what they're doing, and you have a Becheskas Sisser, the two combined to create a major problem. So that's the way the Rishonim deal with it. Now Tosfos over here sounds like the Rove really does work. He says Rove Pam Shochet Shapir. That's why it's not going to be a problem of Nevela according to the Shita that holds that it's only Aser Bachila. Tosfos understands that the whole Isser is only Isser Midrabanan. That ain't a Chinami. Midaraisa you can rely on the Rove, but Midrabanan the Rabbanan weren't so happy that the guy didn't check the Simanim. Mela we're not going to rely on the Rove. Now it's interesting. We said it's metame b'masa. Hilchas tuma over here, we're not sure if it was shechted properly. That we know, that's definitely the case. We just don't know. We didn't check the simanim. What do we do in general? You have a suffik tuma, so we have rules. Suffik tuma b'rishos rabim is tara, suffik tuma b'rishos yachad is tameh. If there are three people in the shachtais or more, that's the definition of rishos rabim legabe tuma. So we should say suffik tuma, that it's tahar. Why are we all of a sudden we're saying that it's metame b'masa? You treat it like a nevela? It's a suffik nevela. Why should it be metame b'masa? So Yisod Gadol v'nod b'Yehuda Madura Tinyana, your Dea Simon Kuf Chaf says that sometimes questions of Tumah also relate to Isser. When something is an Avela, it's not only an issue of Tumah, it's also an issue of a violation of the Isser Achilas Nevela. When it relates to Isser also, we follow rules of Safek Isser, and therefore we go with Chazaka and Rov and all those rules that we were discussing before with the Russian Tysus, and we don't follow rules of Safek Tumah. Therefore, says the Nodeb Yehuda, if a woman finds a Kesem on her garment, and she happens to be in the Rishus HaRabim at the time that she finds the kesem on her garment, we don't say Safik Tumah b'Rishus Rabim, she's Tahar. Because granted, she's Tahar, the Tumah or Tahar status of Anida relates to whether she could touch Truma and Tumantara issues. It also relates to Isser Veheter issues. There's an issue of Heter Labaila and Isser Labaila. So since it relates to Isser Veheter issues, it doesn't follow the dinim of Safik Tumah. That's what the Kuzari writes. One of the questions in the Kuzari is that the Melech asks, the Melech Kuzari asks is why it is, if we don't observe any of the laws of Tumantara anymore, why is it that we still observe Hilchas Nida? And the answer is, Taisum Baba Kama says like this also, the answer is that that Hilchas Nida is not only Tumah Vatara, it's also Isser Veheter. Heter Labaila is also part of Tumas Nida. Yosef Engel has a whole essay on that topic, on how much do we consider Hilchas Nida Tumah Vatara, and how much do we consider it Isser Veheter. But that's what Nadibuda says, we don't follow laws of Safek Tumah in situations situations where it's also nogea to isur veheter. Gufa, Amar Rav Huna, behema b'chaya b'chaskas isur amedes, ad sheyodei lach b'men nishchita. So we said that a behema is always assumed to be b'chaskas isur, unless we know what it was shechted with. Neshkata, once it was shechted, becheskas heter omedes, ad sheyodei lach b'men nitrufa. Then we assume it's becheskas heter, unless we know that there was a trefa, that there was some sort of trefa problem. So frankly, Gemara v'leima, just neshkata hutra. Why don't you just say, if it was shechted, it becomes mutter. Becheskas heter? What do you mean, becheskas heter? You shechted, it becomes mutter. So hakam ashman, da'afal gav disyel b'reya. So now it's coming to tell me that even though there's some reyosa that came up where you think that maybe there was a trefa problem, still it's becheskas heter. Like in the case where a wolf comes and takes out the intestines, so we never got to examine the intestines, so what's the din? Do you assume trefa? You never got to check. Or do you assume that they're not trefa? So says Gemara, not al halasnu. What do you mean they're not here? What kind of reyesa? There's no reyes on the intestines. You didn't see anything wrong. The wolf took them away. So elanaka b'nei me'ayimahu. No, let's say you saw the wolf bite into the intestines. So what's the din over there? Now there's a hole in the intestines. So that's a reyesa. Says Gemara, no, not. You saw the wolf is the one that bit into it. How could you say that it's a reyesa? You know that this came later. This wasn't here before. The wolf took away the intestines, brought them back, and now it's full of holes. Do we assume that in a place where it already had a hole, that's where the wolf bit it? Oh, or maybe you assume that maybe no, maybe the wolf put all the holes in there. Do we assume, so it's a reisa, it's a little bit of a reisa. We don't assume that maybe he bit it in a place where it had a hole. We could be makel. We don't assume that there's a reisa. So that's the cheskas heter. The Rishonim writes, the Chidushei Aran writes that this chazaka isn't really a chazaka, it's really a rove. The rove behemoths are not trefos. We're just using chazaka as a melitza. Chazaka means five different things throughout Shas. Sometimes chazaka just means ruba de lasa kaman, that you have a rove, that most of the time something is a certain way. Okay, so some of the Acharon Ber Yitzchak discusses why would we use the word chazaka if it really doesn't mean chazaka over here, it really means rove, but a lot of times the word chazaka means rove. Beis Yosef it phrases the question in Or Chaim in some Tav Lamed Zayin that if a person rents a house to somebody else on Erev Pesach, so why the halacha is that if the maskir is around and you're not sure if he did bedikas chametz, you have to ask him, did you do bedikas chametz or not? So frekta the Beis Yosef, why do we not rely on chazak over there? When you have a behema, you don't check for every single trefa, you do rely on the chazaka. So why over there do you not rely on the chazaka? So the Beis Yosef says, no, shiny behema, she bechet. That a behemoth is becheskas kosher when it's born. We don't assume that it has some sort of disease, some sort of illness that's life-threatening. But a bias, kol hashana, it's becheskas she'ino baduk. A bias throughout the year, it's becheskas that it's not baduk. That's how the Beis Yosef deals with it. The Bach says no. The ikur of the chiluk between the behemah and the bayis is that the chazaka of the behemah, the cheskas kashrus of the behemah is mimela. It's born, it has a cheskas. Nothing has to be done to give it a cheskas kashrus. Whereas the chazaka of the bayis, you need to do a bedika to create a cheskas kashrus on the bayis. So it's action oriented versus being passive. And therefore, if the shochet is around and you want to rely on the chazaka that he knows what he's doing, no, knowing what you're doing is active. You have to learn to know what you're doing. So therefore, you have to check the shochet. You have to ask him. You can't just rely on the chazaka because anything that's action oriented, you need to ask him about. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter Esve. So really, you're allowed. We said we're not going to be choshesh that b'makom nekev nakav, that the wolf made a hole in a place that already had a hole and that the animal was a trefa. No. You could assume the animal was kosher. Let's say you see a bird pecking away at a teena, and you see an achbar pecking away at an avatiach, at a watermelon, and so you see that there are holes in it, obviously from the bird or from the achbar. We're still choshish, maybe it had a hole in it before, and they were pecking away at a place that already had a hole. How did that other hole get there? Probably there was a hole there before from a snake that deposited its venom into that avatiach, into that ta'ina, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it because you have to assume it's dangerous. So what do you see? That we are choshish, b'makom nekev nakav. That we are choshish, that even though we see something putting a hole in it right now, that it's putting a hole in a place where there already was a hole. Says, Isurul Sakanta. How can you compare the two? By that case, it's an issue of sakana. You can't compare halachas of Issa V'Heter to halachas of sakana. Sakana shiny. Sakana is always going to be different. So Amalei Rava, meaning we're more machmir by sakana. So the Gemara says, who says we're more machmir by sakana? That's what the Gemara is going to question the rest of this amud. Where do we know that sakana is more strict than Isser? Samlei Rava, Maishna Safik Sakanta Luchumra, Safik Isra Nami Luchumra. Who says Sakan is more strict? As far as we know, Sakan is the same as Isser, because just like we know that when you have a Safik Sakana, you go Luchumra, when you have a Safik Daraisa in Isser, you also go Luchumra. So it's the same thing, same halachos. Safik Sakana and Safik Isser are the same halachos. Amrle Abaye, so Abaye says, here's Raya number one, that Sakana is different than Isser. Velo Shaini Ben Isser Le Sakanta. Really, you don't think there's a difference? Vayilu safek tuma b'rishus rabim sveko tahar. Tuma is also a safek isser, and yet when it's a safek d'oraisa of tuma in rishus rabim, we're going to assume it's tahar. Vayilu safek mayim megulin asurin. Safek mayim megulin is going to be asur even in rishus rabim. So you see that we are stricter with sakana than we are with isser. So amrlei. So, nah, don't bring me a raya from Safek Tumah. Safek Tumah is its own category. And we have a special halacha l'Moshe Misinai that teaches me by Sota that you're allowed to learn from Sota that Ma Sota b'Rishus HaYachid, that why are we machmir in a Sota? We don't know that she slept with the other guy. We suspect it because her husband was mekane her. Her husband told her not to be with that guy, and then she went and she had yichud with the guy. We don't know that she slept with him, but yet the Torah tells us that you need to be machmir. She's asur l'baila till she goes through the procedure of the Mei Sota. And where did the suffix arise in Rishus HaYachid? She had yichud with the man, so it was all in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So we learn from Sota, Ma Sota b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Af Tumah b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Just like Sota is a Safek Tumah b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Tameh, so too Tumah, we're only Machmir Misafek in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But that's a special din by Tumah V'Tara. It has nothing to do with the relative Chomer or Isser. It's just a special Halacha L'Moshe Misinai by Tumah V'Tara. So Masr Rav Simi Sheretz Bifi Chulda. So he's going to give another example of maybe where we learn that sakana is more chamer than iser. You have Sheretz Bifi Chulda. You have a dead Sheretz in the mouth of a weasel. The Chulda Malachas Al Gabe Kikaros and Shal Truma. And the weasel happens to be running on top of Kikaros Shal Truma. It's walking by the Truma. Now if the dead Sheretz touches the Truma, it's going to be Mitame the Truma. The Chulda itself is alive. It's not going to be Mitame the Truma. Chulda could touch the Truma all at once. It's not going to be Mitame. So Savig Nav. Safek lo naga. It's a safek whether the sheretz touched the truma or didn't. Sveko tahar. So in that situation, we're going to assume that the truma is tahar. It's sveko tahar. Even in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's going to be sveko tahar. The halacha is going to be v'ilu safek mayim megulin asurin. And yet, when you have a safek of mayim megulin, it's going to be asur. So that's our second raya. The first one was rejected, but that's our second raya that we're more machmir with sakana than we are with iser. So says the Gemara, no, that's also special halacha l'Moshe Misinai dafka by tumah v'tahara. So hasam nami hilchsa gemiri lamisota. Over there also, we have a special halacha l'Moshe Misinai by sota from sota that mas sota davar shiyesh badasli. Just like when are we machmir by a sota? Because a sota is a human being that you have that has enough das that if you were to ask her where were you, what was going on, did you do it, did you not do it, she can respond intelligently. When does the law safek tumah b'rishus hayachid tameh apply? That's only when you're dealing with something that has das lishael, that has enough das to be asked about it. So ma sota davar sheish b'das lishael af hachanami davar sheish b'das lishael. So too any safek tumah case that you want to say b'rishus hayachid is Mitame is only when it has Das Lishal. The Chulda doesn't have Das Lishal. You can't ask the Chulda, you can't interview the Chulda, what happened, did you touch, did the Sheretz touch? It doesn't work. Memel, the whole din, the Halacha Moshe Misinai, is that din, doesn't apply. But this is all Halacha Moshe Misinai, special dinim, relating to Tumah v'Tahara, nothing to do with Isser. So says Gemara, third shot. Third, try to show that sakana is more chamor than iser. So, Ravashi Tashma. Let's say you have a flask that you left it uncovered, and you come back and you find that it's covered the next day. Tameya. So we assume it's Tameh. Shani Omer Adam Tameh Nichnas Hashem V'Kisa. You assume that a Tameh person came and covered it up. He Nicha Mechusa. If you left it covered, Ubal Matzah Megula, and then you come back and you find that it's uncovered, so Im Yichol Lechol Delishtos Mimena O Nachash. If it's possible for a weasel or a snake to have drunk from it, so Diver Rem Gamliel O Sheyar O Nachash Diver Rem Gamliel or Nachash, according to Rem Gamliel, who says that the Nachash is the same as a Chulda. So O Sheyar But Tal Belaila, or dew fell in it at night, then it's psula, then it's possible to use. Possible to use for what? We're talking about using for the mei para, for the efer para aduma, as the mei chatas, as the to sprinkle on someone's tummy mace. So it's possible to use. V'amar b'shur ben Levi, because it's not mayim chayim, it has to be mayim chayim in order to be used for the efer para. V'amar b'shur ben Levi, matam, why is it that why is there a difference whether you left it uncovered and found it covered or vice versa? V'mnei shedarkan shal shratzum legalos vein darkan lechasos. It's normal for a sheretz to uncover something, it's not normal for a sheretz to cover something. Let's skip the parentheses because it's late. V'ilu safek mayim megulim masurin. And yet when it comes to any safek of mayim megulim, we automatically assume that it's asur. So when it comes to Isra Veheter, can you use it for Paraduma? Can you not use it for Paraduma waters? So we're going to say it depends. It depends. Covered, uncovered, how did you leave it? How did you find it? But Saving Mayim Gulen automatically Aser. Shema Mina, Kamira Sakantame Sura, Shema Mina. So there we learn that Sakana is more Chamer than Isra. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit at the beginning of tomorrow's year.